And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour, your only sports podcast on HalfGuarded, hosted by father and son. I'm your host, Mitch Pump. It's my co-host, Mitch Pump Jr. How you doing, Mitch?
Hi there, guys.
That's not Dan. That's not what my son would sound like. That's ridiculous.
Sure he would. He wouldn't be very old.
No. You don't know that. Could have had him when I was 13.
Not buying it.
But no, Dan Ford, how you doing, Dan?
I learned something today. I got an update today. A friend of the show, Cameron Kleiner, is no longer our Memphis correspondent. He's moved back to the great state of North Carolina. He was telling me that the radio show we used to listen to as kids is still going, one, so hey, hats off to those guys. And two, it's now the only, because classic rock has kind of died as an idea.
Yeah.
It's literally the only thing on the station. Like, the show goes from 5 o'clock in the morning to noon, and then 3 hours later, they just replay the show starting at 3 o'clock. Mm. And they just replay it until like 10 o'clock at night. So, hey, if you missed it, just listen for the replay. What which the- is psychotic. Can we say? Hey, it's 4 o'clock and I'm on my drive home. Let's listen to what they heard this morning.
Don't some TV stations kind of still do that same thing?
Well, it's basically all the news is. Yeah. I mean, hot take. Everything that comes on at like the 12 o'clock news, if you're at home and you're watching the local news at 12 o'clock, all that shit is warmed over stuff from the morning or stuff that they didn't think was good enough to be on in the morning. And they just said, cut that. Put it on at noon.
Dan, before we kick off some football, I do want to talk about this. We are really for me, but maybe for others, just days or hours removed from seeing Venom. How hyped are you to see the film Venom?
Well, less hyped now that I've seen Mandy, which I think means all movies are obsolete comparatively.
I don't know. Is that what your tweet meant? Because I was like, so go see Mandy? I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, Mandy is possibly the best movie I've ever seen.
Oh. Well, who's in that?
It's starring the greatest actor of our age, Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah.
And then a bunch of, like, horrifying people to look at. Everybody else in the movie is, like, nobody, but they're really fucking terrifying to look at.
Okay. But then, Venom has been compared to other hit comic movies such as Daredevil, The Fantastic Four, 0.10, and, Catwoman.
Rough. Anytime the C word gets brought up, Catwoman, you're in trouble.
Because, like, Catwoman's, like, one of those, like, really bad movies where you're like, it's, oh, basketball scene, it must be all this bad. And, like, no, it's just not fun.
It's an incredibly boring movie made by people who had no idea. Like, the only thing they knew about Catwoman was the Tim Burton movie that had Catwoman in it. Yeah. But even that, they weren't really true to either.
I love that there was also a video game.
Which is one of the worst video games ever made.
Yeah, so there you go. A nice little synergy there. I think the best part, though, was like Halle Berry accepting her Razzies and like coming to the award show.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Knew it was trash and didn't give a shit. You gotta respect that.
I liked her, like, slamming her agent. Like, well, like I think she won an Oscar or something, like, years later or something.
Yeah, no,
like, Monsters Ball.
Didn't she win one for Monsters Ball before?
Yeah, she won it for Monsters Ball, and she's like, thank God my stupid agent didn't kill my career with Catwoman. Or something along those lines. And it was very funny.
Yeah.
But then, like, uptight Hollywood people were like, how disrespectful to talk about your representation that way. They worked very hard for you. It's like, fuck off. Yeah. They got her in Catwoman.
They worked very hard. They did a pretty shitty job of it. I think I'm going to see Venom. Record this on a
I mean, Venom. Day. Venom really does, though, remind me of Catwoman, where it's like you've got a thing, you've got a
Venom.
It's a villainous character that you're going to try to turn into a hero because you want to build around it, but you don't know why anybody ever really liked it. Like, Venom is a villain that people, like, got into because they're like, ooh, he's a bad boy, and he's like evil Spider-Man. Oh, that's
Well, and
because,
like, he just looks cool, right?
And he looks cool. And, like, the idea
it's like
of, like...
It's like a superficial thing. It's like, oh, well, Venom's cool.
It's a very, like, late 80s, 90s comic where it's just hyper-violent and it kind of looks cool. And as long as you don't think about how shitty everything is, then it's pretty good.
But are we hyped for Venom and Eddie Brock kissing in this movie? Because that happens.
Is that really happening, or is that a Twitter meme?
We'll find out. I'll find out Tuesday. I'm going Tuesday. Rehyped.
But, like, it just seems like the worst movie I could imagine. It's also great. Like, really when the lead actor is doing his press tour and talking about how there's shit wrong with it, like, that's when you really know you're in for for a fine film experience.
When, like, especially, like, most of his press tour is just, like, him, like, instead of talking about the movie, it's just like, oh, you should go adopt, like, dogs from the shelter. He's just like, I'm not going to promote this movie. I'm just going to try to get people to adopt shelter dogs. That should tell you something.
Yeah.
But Tom Hardy must love dogs.
It also just seems like, I mean, why are, and I got to thinking about this, and I started thinking, like, well, why were superhero movies so shitty in the mid-aughts? Like, that post-Spider-Man, hey, let's all make superhero movies, because Spider-Man was really popular, but they're all shitty. And why was that? And I was just thinking about it yesterday, and it hit me. The reason why is because all of the studios thought that only men wanted to see superheroes. And so they made, like, shitty action movies that, if it wasn't a superhero movie, it would have been, like, Sylvester Stallone holding, like, a gun shaped as a dick. And it's like, well, yeah, of course this is bad. Like, it's targeted at, like, dumbass man children and then actual male children. Whereas, like, the secret of the Marvel movies was, like, oh, we're, you know, this isn't just for, like, dumbass children.
No, like
we're going to make this, we're going to put stuff in here that, like a family would, like, that could appeal
because,
to different,
like,
people.
Because, like, how many men, like, probably drugged their girlfriends to go see, like, Iron Man 1? And, like, the girls left, like, oh, I'm kind of into this Marvel shit now.
Like, that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, and, like, because, like, it was a charming, character-driven movie. It appealed to everyone. Like, that was, it's like, did we talk about this last week? I feel like we may.
I don't think we did.
Okay, because, like, the genius of Star Wars, you know, is, like, it's got all this, like, galactic bullshit going on. But at its heart, it's a character-driven story. That's why everyone loves it.
Which is why, like, the sequel, like, the prequels sucked. Because the prequels was all, like, story. They were all, like, exposition, trade federations. Whereas the first ones are just like, well, here's some interesting people that are in this environment, and just go with it.
Yeah, and the environment was in the background, and I think in the prequels, the environment was more in the foreground. It's like, look at this crazy world, and there's some people in it, instead of, look at these people in this crazy world.
Yeah.
And that's, bad filmmaking.
And in the MCU, and sometimes it falls on its ass, like the, you know, the Thor sequel was really, really shitty.
But then they nailed it with the, you know, the wrong with Ragnarok.
But right, like, the deal with the MCU is that it's about those characters first, and their interactions with the other characters around them. And then, like, all the, you know, the fucking story wonk, and, you know, all the fucking Tesseract, and the fucking... this is the Sabada of Zebedoo. That shit's kind of in the background. Like, it might be there, but it's not what the whole thing's built around. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was not about, oh, man, this is Starklock of the Slim Flop, and he's here to find the Flip Warp. It's about a dude whose dad left him and ended up being a real piece of shit. And then he has to, like, conquer that feeling of, like, wanting to nuzzle up to a dad who didn't love it. Like, it's a universal type of thing.
And think about even, like, with Rocket Raccoon. It's a man trying to find his place in the world.
Who acts like an asshole to everybody around him so that he can't be hurt.
Kind of like, it's similar to, like, kind of the Han Solo thing. which was like a good move by them, I think, to just kind of make him Raccoon Han Solo. And it's worked. I mean, it worked very well. Yeah. Until but, your boy Ray Mike ruined it.
Yeah. And but then when you look at the older generation of comic book movies that flopped their ass off, they're all movies that like obsess over meaningless details, like getting these like meaningless things right, and then okay, all this other shit that actually is important, fuck that, we gotta get our action scenes in. We gotta make sure we get our big, like, they care about the booms and the, you know, people's heads getting
eaten. Well, let's make sure that trailer looks, it's like the Suicide Squad thing. It's like, let's make sure that fucking trailer pops.
Just pops, yeah.
When, like, in reality, it's like, no one cares about the trailer anymore, because, like, people are gonna get hyped for stuff on, like,
yeah, me. If something's good, it could just be like a fucking, hey, you don't here's a me. Fucking song. You don't,
I would like to see the fucking balls on, like, a blockbuster to be like, we're not going to release a trailer. Like, here's just some shit.
You got to do something put on Comic-Con.
Like, here's but it a doesn't clip have... from the movie at Comic-Con, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I not mean, a
realistically,
trailer.
They didn't even need a trailer for Batman versus Superman. All they needed to do is, hey, it's Batman versus Superman, and if the thing had been good, people would have been, you know, throwing babies.
Yeah, well, like, event, like, with the next Avengers. Don't show me shit from them. I don't want to see a trailer for Avengers. Whatever, was it Avengers 4? You know, like, I don't want to see anything from that movie. Just be like, hey, here's the movie, go see it. I don't need a trailer, because I know the story. We all do by now. Like, no one who's going to see that movie doesn't know what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody's mom saw that movie. Like, that's how...
I mean, it's literally the, what, third most successful movie of all time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know. It's like so. When Black Panther comes out. Do they really need something extensive? No, because they've established these people and why they're important. And
yeah, anything. Same thing with the next Spider-Man. I don't need a trailer. I want you, I don't even show me shit. I don't want
to
no, see
I want to see. Trailer. I want to see how, I want to see Mysterio.
However, did you see the trailer drop for Vice?
Ice, Christian no.
Bale as Dick Cheney.
Oh, I did see stills.
Yeah,
I didn't
see the trailer dropped today. That movie's gonna fucking own. Who is it? Fucking Tyler Perry as Colin Powell.
It's some amazing casting. There's no way around.
Yeah, it's kind of like the People versus OJ of movies, I think, and that's why. Because like to me, Dick Cheney's. It's not gonna be an interesting enough story really without like a crazy good cast.
I want to know if Christian Bale like gained 60 pounds. You know how like Christian Bale did that movie where he like lost like 180 pounds and was like the Machinist
or whatever.
The Machinist. That's right. Yeah. It's like I wonder if he gained like he gained like 95 pounds and gave himself a heart problem.
He did. And he shot his friend. That's like what Daniel Day-Lewis would have done. He would have shot his.
Yes, Danny Day would have shot somebody.
It's like, what was it when he played Lincoln? He just got fucked in the ass for like 3 months straight and like gave himself anxiety.
Yeah.
Because Lincoln was gay. People forget that.
He like wore a prosthetic small penis so he'd feel bad and self-conscious.
Yeah. Even though Lincoln should have been hung. It's like when Tom Cruise played Sully and he, I don't know, fuck that movie. Like fuck
Tom Cruise was not Sully.
That not was Tom Hanks. Hanks, same person. They're really the same person, Dan. People forget that.
And I'm not sure that's true.
Talk about this before we get into football really quick. Did you see the steal of Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers?
I did.
How are we feeling about that?
Well, Mr. Rogers means a lot to me.
I don't know. I agree. And I love Mr. Rogers. I love the whole story. No, I don't know if I need a movie about it. Like, the documentary was good enough. I don't know if I need Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers.
Well, if anybody... I do... if you're going to make one... that
would Hanks will pull it off, yeah. Well, because Hanks just plays everybody in movies. He just plays old white men in every movie.
And likable. Likeable. It's very important that they be likable white men.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Also, that Elton John movie looks pretty shitty, and I want to see it.
I have not seen it.
It's like a musical fake biography of Elton John.
What is the worst? What is the worst biography of a musician you've ever seen?
I mean, that Doors one I think kind of sucks. I don't, but I hate the Doors. So like,
yeah, that's not quite fair. The Doors are shitty, and
what was it? They did have Val Kilmer in it, right?
Yeah, that was kind of perfect casting because he looks.
Kilmer's a good actor, so I don't mean to bag because I love Val Kilmer in like literally anything.
You need to take that back.
I just like Val Kilmer. I'm just one of those like just a guy. It's like to me, he's got the same factor as The Rock. Where like even if this movie just fucking sucks, I'm just gonna enjoy seeing this man's face.
Yeah. Did you ever see The Island of Dr. Moreau? Because if you did, I think you'd take that back.
That sounds like one of those James Bond movies that no one saw.
The Island of Dr. Moreau is like a 100-year-old book about science gone mad. It's about this scientist who figures out how to devolve human beings into animals. Mm. And make he evolves animals into like hyper-intelligent humanoids. And experiments on animals to make them like super smart. And like human-like. And Val Kilmer was supposed to play like the guy who washes up and like is terrified, you know, suddenly stuck on this island. But yeah. Then he refused to learn the lines for it, so they made him like the sidekick of the villain, who was played by Marlon Brando, who absolutely positively hated Val Kilmer and treated him like shit. Because Val Kilmer was such a piece of shit to everybody. That Marlon Brando took it upon himself to just humiliate him at every turn.
Okay, which made Val Kilmer even worse. This is pre Val Kilmer, like kind of being self aware and funny.
No, this was before. No, this is at the peak of Val Kilmer as a movie star.
Okay, that's what I mean. Like,
so this is before. Yeah, this is one like
going to kill him.
This is one of the things that like made people like hate him so much that he had to then. There's a great documentary about the Island of Dr. Moreau by the guy who was originally the director and, like, pitched the movie, and then he got fired 2 weeks, or, like a month in, because the studio was like, oh, he's insane. I think it's called The Island of Cursed Souls, or The Island of Damned Souls. It's on Prime.
Mm. Speaking of insane, Dan, let's go back to Ohio State, Penn State from last week. How dumb was the play call? This is the play call, Dan, that you said even you couldn't defend. You love you some Bill O'Brien, or whoever the fuck's the coach there.
James Franklin's also not the play caller. So let's not dump too much on James Franklin.
Okay, but James Franklin could have vetoed that call.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a bad play call. So what I'm about to say is not like me saying, oh, you know, blah, blah. But I get how they got there. Because I think what happened is you call one timeout. And then you get up there and the play call is still not right. So when you call that second timeout, you start to like overthink and you start going, well, they know we've called two timeouts. If we run the ball, they're not going to be ready for that because they're going to think that we've come up with some trick play. And, you know, then we'll, you know, da 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 da.
I thought the play was originally like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that was just an RPO and the quarterback must have, like, McSorley must have just fucked that up or something.
It wasn't an RPO.
It
was a zone read with a bubble screen tag, which is not an RPO. That's something Rich Rodriguez has been doing for like 20 years now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the quarterback has an option to throw a bubble screen or run with it if he keeps it. But the problem, like the real fatal flaw with the play is they didn't option anybody. Like, no, they didn't leave anybody unblocked to get like that man advantage on the offensive line. You know, on a zone read, this is basic, but on a zone read, you leave a guy unblocked, usually the end of scrimmage, the defensive end. Sometimes it's a defensive tackle, but it's the backside defensive end most of the time. And then you leave him unblocked, and the quarterback takes him out of the play, because if he comes charging at the running back, the quarterback keeps it and attacks that end of the line. And if he stays at home to stop the quarterback, he gives it to the running back, and then you've got a man-blocking advantage because your offensive lineman blocking that direction, or they've got an extra man to block with because they didn't have to block that end guy. And then what Penn State added onto the backside is if they bring extra people to try to stop that zone read, then you throw the bubble screen. so that, you know, if they vacate the slot to bring extra people, then that bubble screen can go get you some yards.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that Penn State completely shut down the bubble screen, or Ohio State did, so the bubble screen was not open at all. And then on the run play, Penn State didn't option anybody, so all they were really doing was running an inside zone with a bubble screen on the backside.
Yeah.
Which is not a great play.
Like, I don't even like that call to begin with, the cute bubble screen call, because, like, you fucking McSorley, like, maybe the Heisman winner this year, like, you need to put the ball in his hands and just say, go make a play.
Well, they did put the ball in his, but they did put the ball in his hands.
Okay.
It was an option play.
But, like, it shouldn't have been, like, restricted. Like, it should have been, like, hey, go throw it, run it, you make something happen.
I think that would have been a very good play call if it was fourth and one.
Oh, if
all you needed to do was get a yard.
Listen, if it was like third and five or something, well, I just don't run on fourth down.
If it was third and five, that's a great play call.
Yeah,
I think.
But if it's fourth down, like, I'm putting it McSorley, I'm not doing any sort of bullshit. I'm saying you go make a play with your receivers.
If it's fourth and five, I'm going, what's your favorite pass play? That's what we're running.
And I'm rolling you out to the right.
No, I'm not rolling you out, because they're gonna see that. Like, that has become a hackneyed play call, where, like, teams expect you to roll it out on, like, the goal line or on a third and five, fourth and five type situation. So I wouldn't do that. But I would say, look, you know, what's your favorite pass? If it's if it was Peyton Manning, it'd be like, okay, we're gonna run levels, because that's your favorite route. You know, whatever Trace McSorley's favorite pass play is, that's what we're going to call. And then also tell him, look, if they do what they've been doing all day, where they're in this man coverage and they just leave the whole middle of the field open, take off and get me and scramble for it. And all right. And then that's what you do. You know, and instead they overthought it and thought, oh, it's fourth and five. They'll never expect a run. And it's like, well, I mean, looked like they kind of, I mean, they just stunted. They ran a pass rushing stunt and defended the bubble screen because they thought it was a pass. Like, that bubble screen is not going to do anything in that situation.
No, because the bubble screen and all, it's just a run. It's a run play. It's just like you're just pitching it a different way, basically. But in all essence, you're just trying to run two run plays right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's That's a package. It's a run play. It's what Rich Rodriguez used to call it, is like the new triple option, where, like, you know, you give the quarterback the chance. Like, that is the pitch play of, like, a
no.
You know,
I mean, if
it was in a triple option formation,
yeah. Like, if you watch, like, Auburn at all, you're going to see the play a lot.
Sure, and it's a good play, but it's not what I call on fourth and five.
No, especially when you've got if you still had Barkley, maybe. Because, like, that's a guy who can, like, kind of turn a play into anything. You know, he's done it in the NFL so far. You know, but I'm putting the ball in the hands of my best playmaker, and I'm letting him make the play, not a running back. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Especially when your running back's not a guy who's going to, you know, maybe be a top five running back his rookie year in the NFL.
Also, Ohio State had stuffed the run all day from running backs. Like, they couldn't stop Trace McSorley on draw plays, but, like, they had absolutely annihilated every single time they tried to run the ball from their running back. They ate it up.
This poor, and, like, Penn State blew that, and it kind of showed why, like, I mean, we had our doubts about Penn State as being, like, a real title contender, and that game was kind of proof, because you blew it in a really big game for you. Penn State wins that, it's not a cakewalk, but, like, you're in good shape. Heading into, you know, the rest of October, November.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it's just the Michigan game.
Yeah, basically, because you don't play Wisconsin, I don't think.
Well, they'd have to play him in the finals.
Yeah, but you don't play him in the regular season. I mean, until the postseason, it's a bit of a cakewalk. So, huge, huge loss for Penn State in that game. And now they're going to need some help if they're going to even go to the B1G championship game.
Yeah, they need Ohio State to lose to Michigan and then to lose to somebody else in, like, a toast-up game. But they've got to beat Michigan. And they've got to have Michigan beat Ohio State plus somebody else beat Ohio State.
They would need Michigan State or Wisconsin to beat Ohio State.
Which Wisconsin could. I mean, Wisconsin could.
Yeah, Wisconsin's just kind of Jekyll. You never know with Wisconsin, I think. Other game going on at the same time. Notre Dame kind of upset Stanford. Lot of Notre Dame fans coming out of the woodwork now. Kind of already sick of them.
Sick of Notre Dame fans.
Like, okay, the Michigan game, you got really lucky when you beat Michigan if you're Notre Dame, right? Like, one of the touchdowns was pure luck. And then, how good is Stanford, really?
Well, how good is anybody in the Pac-12? We don't know.
Yeah.
I think here's the thing. You don't want to overstate any win in week one, no matter who it is. Like, yeah. Auburn, we might look up and at the end of the year and go, man, Washington ended up being a better team than Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn could have three losses. Washington, you just have one.
And you might go, well, they lost to Auburn. And it's like, well, they met them in week one, and teams get better as the year goes on.
Yeah.
Their offense is definitely getting better with this different quarterback. And they admitted, like Brian Kelly admitted that part of the reason he picked the quarterback he did was he thought he gave him a better shot to win against Michigan. Because Michigan, you know, a running quarterback makes it a little bit harder for them.
Yeah, it doesn't play to Michigan's strengths on defense, essentially.
Whereas if you're a passing quarterback, you know, and you don't have a lot of athleticism, Michigan's just going to eat you alive with their pass rush and shut your receivers down with their coverage, and they're going to blitz you out of existence. So, you know, the key to beating Michigan is having a quarterback who's athletic enough to beat their blitzes. Which, I mean, that, you know, those don't grow on trees. But, yeah. You know, their offense is improving. Their offense played very well against Stanford. If their offense plays like that the rest of the year, then they're a contender. Their defense has been legit all year, though.
Their defense has been very salty. Yeah, let's look through the remaining schedule. Right, because this week they're going to go at Virginia Tech, who bounced back, I think, against Duke. Then you got Pittsburgh, who sucks. You got Navy, which you never know.
Yeah, triple option team.
Yeah, Northwestern, who played Michigan's tough, so I think we can say Northwestern can step up in big games if need be. Maybe not win them.
Not putrid, but not, you know, not a great team.
But like a team, if you didn't take them seriously, they're going to catch you off guard.
They will be scrappy.
They run into FSU.
That should be an easy win.
The one I'm intrigued by, Syracuse at Notre Dame. Syracuse just played a Clemson team. Clemson team, I think, is better than Notre Dame, pretty close. Now, mind you, they needed some luck with some injuries and stuff, but I mean, Syracuse was also undefeated going into that game. UC and then Notre Dame ends the year with USC. Do you see any of these teams knocking off Notre Dame?
Sure.
Who's most likely to, like, I think most likely it could be this week at La Tech.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia Tech has been a chaos team.
Yeah.
Like, one week they look like, you know, $1 million. The next week they look like, you know, pickled pig shit.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah, but maybe this La Tech team, because they lost Old Dominion, is going to play this Notre Dame team a little bit tougher than they would have if they'd been cruising the last 2 or 3 weeks. Like, I wonder if, like, with a team that's maybe, like, pretty talented in Vatek, if that loss doesn't make them more dangerous. Because, like, now they're like, kind of pissed and, like, on their toes. And that can spell disaster, you know, multiple ways.
Well, there's also the deal where, you know, you suddenly start overlooking them because, well, shit, they lost to Old Dominion.
Yeah, and we just beat Stanford last week. You know, we just beat this team that's what you think's really good.
I mean, there's definitely an element of that, you know. I definitely see that to an extent.
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
If you're asking me, if Notre Dame keeps this up, do they belong in the playoff? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what people don't, I mean, this Notre Dame thing is always like a big fucking pointless fight every year.
Okay,
about,
but I want to say this really quick though, and this is a weird scenario. Let's say Washington beat Auburn. Let's say Washington finishes year undefeated. Oklahoma's undefeated. Alabama's undefeated. Clemson's undefeated. Does Notre Dame get in?
If all those teams were undefeated, yeah, they'd get in over Washington.
You think they would get in over Washington? But even though Washington would have better wins.
No, they wouldn't.
They would beat Stanford, and then Auburn and Michigan are comparable at this point.
Mm.
I mean, in terms of rankings, Auburn.
I think the committee would look at the Michigan win as being bigger than the Auburn win.
Why is that though? Because Auburn's a better team than Michigan.
Are they?
I mean, they're ranked.
Are we sure about that?
I think they are.
Not at this point, not in S&P.
Who's Michigan?
Not in
beat?
S&P. Who's Auburn beat? Washington. Well, you're saying if Washington had beat them.
Okay, well, actually,
you're using
But, okay.
You know, you're going in circles here.
Well, then let's say Auburn beats LSU.
I mean, I'm not sure LSU. I don't think anybody really respects LSU at this point. Like,
well, they will when they beat Georgia next week.
I mean, if they do that,
lock that one up for me. LSU will demolish Georgia next week. I firmly believe that. I think
do that, but right now I think everybody looks at LSU and goes pretender.
Yeah, I think they're a pretender. I think Georgia's a pretender. There's only one contender in the SEC.
I mean, I think people respect Georgia. Like, I think people are giving Georgia the benefit of the doubt that they're not giving LSU.
I don't know why.
They're not giving Auburn at all.
Has Georgia covered all year?
We're not. I mean, the fucking committee don't care about covering.
I do, though. I'm the committee, Dan.
You are not the committee, sir.
You don't know that. You don't.
I absolutely do. I absolutely know that you are not a member of the NCAA's committee.
You don't know that at all. It's a very secretive thing.
It's actually not secretive. We know every member of it.
It's like the Freemasons. That's the fake list. The real list is me, Paul Feinbaum, Lou Holtz, Dick Cheney, and Supreme Court Justice
Antonin Scalia.
Yeah, it's the ghost of Scalia.
Who's very, very mad at this Kavanaugh fellow.
Yes, yes.
Because a good Catholic doesn't drink.
You know what's wild about that? Like, didn't, like, Reagan have to dismiss the Supreme Court Justice nominee because he smoked pot once?
Yeah, the guy who was the follow-up to Bork.
Yeah, so how did the Republicans get from dismissing a guy who, like, smoked pot?
They became far less popular as a party and started getting desperate. That's why. Like, they now think that they're in real mortal danger as a political entity.
Well, the other thing, too, if the Dems, like, had any balls, you just run on, like, we're going to impeach Kavanaugh if we get power. Done. And then we're going to pack the court. And we're going to put a bunch of trans women on there.
We're not even going to care what their qualifications are.
Yeah, we're literally just going to pick people. And that's what the Supreme Court should be. It should be a couple of judges, but then, like, one, like, lay person. They should change the Constitution. Like, one person could not have gone to law school and is on the Supreme Court.
It would be really cool if we just banned anybody from going to Yale or Harvard from being on the court.
Yeah, you can't do that. But, like, one person who's, like, you had to grow up in a household that made under this much. And then, like, you get, like, LeBron James on the Supreme Court. What athlete, Dan, would be the best Supreme Court justice?
Who is the guy who, like, got obsessed with French food?
Boris Diaw?
Boris Diaw.
He's French.
That'd be my pick.
He's from France.
I thought he was Creole.
It's the same thing. I would put Greg Popovich. Pops would make a great Supreme Court justice, right?
I'm not sure.
And he played basketball at Army or something, so like he's the next athlete. That counts.
I don't think it counts if you play basketball at Army.
I think it does. Because you're a troop and an athlete.
Well, and I can't be the only one who thinks the troops could put a team together and win the Super Bowl.
Well, apparently not, because according to a new report, they are fat and lazy. Or tired, I'm sorry. Fat and tired.
I saw the report where the Army is like, recruitment is down because the economy is too good.
Yeah.
Which sounds like the biggest spin ever to like make Trump happy, when the real reason is, oh, our military has become majority minority. Like, most of the military is either black or Latino now, and they're not exactly enthused with the direction of the country right now.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of not enthused, let's go into this week's games. Deep dive, Red Rocket River Shootout. I'm not excited about this game. I'm sorry. It's hard for
this
me to get
this is the most exciting this game has been in years.
But it's at the worst possible time. Good games
it's
should
at
not
the
be
same,
able to do.
It's at the same time every year. This is one of the fun,
I know, it's stupid.
Individual things that nothing is else like it, and it's the same every year.
You know,
Dan, and
you
know
you
something?
Talked about, you know, on the pre-show, we were talking about dumb sports traditions. This is the dumbest. This game should be at 8 o'clock.
No, it shouldn't.
It should.
No. Nothing should be at 8 o'clock. College football is not supposed to be played at 8 o'clock. The shitty Fox executives and ESPN executives have fucked this sport up by putting everything on at 8 o'clock.
Dan, as someone who lives in the South, you really think some of these games shouldn't be maybe played when the sun goes down?
Only LSU should ever play at night.
LSU, anything below like Atlanta should be like mandatory night games.
No.
No one should have to sit in Gainesville, Florida at 1 o'clock in a September day. That's just that's
do crazy. Something about that's your punishment for not voting for politicians who believe in global warming.
Florida's always been miserable. It is like since the dawn of like there's a reason America was like, oh, you can keep that stuff. We're good for right now. We'll just buy it from you later for nothing. is that how we got Florida? I don't even remember. It wasn't a war, was there? No.
No.
Spain
no,
just like
we,
pulled out.
I think, didn't that come with Louisiana?
It must, but no, Louisiana's from the French.
No, we bought it from Spain.
Louisiana Purchase? No, we bought that from the French.
Spain was run by Napoleon's brother. Mm. And we negotiated it with, it was, all of that was technically owned by Spain, but Napoleon was the one calling the shot.
Well, is this like when I buy, like, Dr. Pepper, but it's really a Pepsi product or something?
Yes.
Okay. I see. See how this is.
But see, France hasn't owned any, did not own any land in the Americas, like themselves, after the French and Indian War.
Okay.
That's part of how we fucked them over, because part of the reason why they backed the American Revolution was to try to get their stuff back that they lost in the French and Indian War. And then we went behind their backs and negotiated a peace treaty to the war without their involvement, which cut them out of the deal.
Thus set off a series of great relations with France and America.
And then caused the French Revolution because that war, like them funding us, completely bankrupted their economy. And they got nothing for it.
And it
other than, I guess, the satisfaction of knowing that they fucked the British over. Which apparently, like, peasants didn't really care about all that much.
Looking for, okay, line on this game's Oklahoma -7.5. You taking that? I think Oklahoma demolishes Texas.
I'm taking Texas. Always take Texas as an underdog.
Take Oklahoma here because I think the Army thing, similar to what we said with Va Tech, that might have been a wake-up call to Oklahoma where it's like, oh, we got to take every game very seriously.
You never bet against Tom Herman as an underdog.
I do, and I will here, and I will win. Don't forget.
Always bet against Tom Herman. Always bet against Tom Herman when he's an overdog.
Who was right about Syracuse last week? That was me. I'm taking Oklahoma. Picked Oklahoma to go undefeated. I think they're going to demolish Texas. I don't think Texas is good. I think
they're Texas has a really good defense. They have a really good defense.
I think they're ranked high because of their brand, and I don't think they're a good team.
I don't think people. I think people have been burned by them so much that they're kind of underrating how good their defense is.
Well, I will continue to underrate Texas until it doesn't exist. It's fuck Texas.
Don't mess with Texas.
I'm sick of Texas, Notre Dame. I don't want these schools to be good. This is annoying. Like, why can't it be like TCU's really good?
I mean, TCU's almost made a national championship.
Yeah. And, like, well, instead of Notre Dame, why can't, like, the University of Indiana be good out of nowhere?
Because they don't really have the budget.
Why can't Purdue? Tell me Purdue doesn't have the budget. I don't know if you forget, Neil Armstrong went to Purdue. People don't forget that.
nobody has ever been allowed to forget that because it's all
also,
Purdue has.
Also, Orville Redenbacher went to Purdue. That's the 1 and 2 on their notable alumni.
Big 12 expert Darren Weber's mother went to Purdue.
There you go. You know who else went to Purdue? Like 15 other astronauts.
Drew Brees.
It's all astronauts, Drew Brees, and who's their other quarterback that was Kyle Orton?
Kyle Orton and Curtis Painter.
Randy Orton.
And
Drew Brees the only Purdue guy in the NFL right now. That seems like it wouldn't be, but like there can't be more than like 3 guys from Purdue in the NFL right now.
Lynn Dawson also went to Purdue.
There you go.
NFL Hall of Famer.
You know who didn't go to Purdue, Dan?
Who's that?
That's
Bob Greasy went to Purdue. Ooh. I forgot about that. Because his son went to Michigan.
You know
that was like the Big Ten version of Peyton Manning choosing Tennessee over Ole Miss.
Who didn't go was Brigham Young. And BYU plays on Friday.
BYU plays Brigham Young, huh? Are you sure about that?
BYU, Brigham Young University, hosts Utah State. But BYU is a 3-point favorite. Who do we like here? I think it's BYU.
Because they
kind of shit the bed versus Washington. But favorites tend to cover on Friday nights this year.
I mean, Utah State doesn't have the talent. I mean, BYU, where they struggle is when they play elite talent. When they play, especially the way they're playing this year, their style of being very run-oriented, between the tackles. If you're playing a small school that doesn't have the talent or the beef up front to defend that, you're just going to run all over them.
No, and clearly BYU can beat talent. I mean, they beat Wisconsin. It's just Washington's much better than Wisconsin. I think that's what we learned.
Or do they just caught Wisconsin the right game, the right week?
Well, I think Washington definitely has a better defensive line than Wisconsin. They got Samoans versus Cornfed boys. Give me Samoans every time.
And Wisconsin is sort of built to pass rush. Like they're built to play, pass oriented spread teams. Like they built their team to play Ohio State and Penn State. Like that's how they've built their defense. Which, I mean, yeah, that's who they've got to go through if they're ever going to win a Big Ten title.
So do we both like BYU here?
Yeah, we're both going with BYU.
Okay, let's jump noon on Saturday. Alabama at Arkansas. Alabama's favored by 35.5. I think we know
take who Alabama.
More importantly, the over-under is 56. The over-under barely happened last week at 69. Do we get it here? Or is this like 43-3?
Give me the over.
Always take the over. If Alabama's favored by a lot, always take the over, kids. It hits most of the time.
They're gonna annihilate them.
All right. How about your boy, Maryland at Michigan, +17?
Michigan hasn't been that good at covering big spreads. Their offense kind of stinks. So give me the points. Ooh, plus, Matt Canada is gonna come up with some shit.
We've got to pick them. Missouri, South Carolina. Give me Mizzou. Mizzou's better than South Carolina, I think.
You don't think this is the week where Derek Dooley finally has like a shitty game plan and, Will Muschamp blows it up?
God, I mean, they should have beaten Kentucky last week and they got their asses kicked, so.
Yeah, but Kentucky's actually good.
Yeah, Kentucky
is what Mississippi State fans thought they were going to be. But I just think these are two teams in that like sloppy middle of the SEC, and I just don't like Derek Dooley as a play. I don't like that hire. I don't trust him, and this just feels like the week where Will Muschamp just drags a team down into the abyss with him.
Right. Well, let's move on. Boston College at NC State. NC State favored by 5. But Boston College, not that bad.
No, they do have that inexplicable, like, humiliating loss they had earlier in the season to Temple, I want to say.
September? Something weird like that. But, like, they're a weird... Boston College is a weird team.
They had another
big win, right?
Yeah. I've been betting against NC State all year, and every week they've covered, and they've made me kind of look like an idiot. So, I mean, I as everybody knows, I am an NC State grad, so I tend to be kind of down on my school. I think they've done this enough times where they finally convinced me. I think this is the second best team in the ACC somehow. I didn't expect to say that. I thought, NC State was kind of gonna be shitty, but I mean, 11-1 is, 11-1 with one loss to Clemson is on the table. Like, NC State might have, like, an all-time great season this year. Just because the ACC has kind of just fallen apart around them.
Yeah. Especially with the big injury at Clemson. Hell of a week for Kelly Bryant to leave, basically.
He's a Kenny Rogers song. He picked a fine time to leave him, Lucille.
Okay. Let's move on. This is a game that doesn't feel big at all, but it should. In theory, and that's Florida State at Miami. Miami's favored by 2 touchdowns.
Take Miami.
I think Miami.
Here's your stat. Here's your stat of the week. Do you know what team in the country has the most tackles for loss of any team?
Miami.
Do you know what team has given up more tackles for loss than any other Power 5 team?
Florida State.
Yeah, pick Miami.
I use context clues to figure that one out.
That was some good SAT school, SAT prep.
Yes. All right, how about this one? 3:30 on CBS. LSU at Florida. LSU favored by 3. Give me LSU all day. Florida can't be that good, right?
But don't you think it's about time for the Piper to be paid for LSU, like, having a
very... No, I don't think it will, because, I don't think it matters necessarily who the coach is at LSU. If they have a mediocre quarterback, they're always going to have so much talent on defense, it's not going to matter. And that's what they have here. They have a quarterback who is average. And an average quarterback should beat this Florida team.
But especially with the defense. He has been probably the most inefficient quarterback in the NCAAs this year. Like, he'll go, like...
But he's still better than what seven of
eight.
Have.
He'll go, like, 7 of 18, but he'll hit, like, 2 30-yard passes for touchdowns.
Yeah, well,
But that's not Florida.
Maybe next week against Georgia we can talk about that. But, like, this Florida team's not that good. They're being overrated because they beat Mississippi. Like, there's kind of that thing where, like, there's a flavor of the week every week in the SEC where we, like, anoint a new team to be, like, 20 for some reason. And to me, that's Florida.
I could also see Florida beating this LSU team. Because this this LSU team is begging somebody to grab up and bite them on the ass the way they're playing.
Well, that'll be Georgia then next week. I don't think
that's Florida not going to be reaching up and grabbing you on the ass. Like, you expect Georgia to beat LSU. This LSU team is due to get surprised because they've been playing like, they've been playing.
But I don't think they're going to go. They're not going to go to Florida and get some. Like, this is a big game. Like, if they're like, I could see like maybe A&M catches them. But like, this is a pretty hyped up game. I mean, it's 3:30 on CBS. You don't get bigger.
Yeah, but it's also on the road. I don't know. I just got a feeling about this Florida.
We'll see. But I think LSU wins like 28-3.
No, they're not going to do that.
Yeah,
they're this is going to be like 13-5.
No, because I think LSU is going to have a lot of short field position from turnovers.
But I don't think
Offense is good. It's going to be more like they end up kicking a lot of field goals, like 7.
They're going to get 21 points the hard way.
Yes, the best way. Next up, Clemson at Wake. Clemson's favored by 19. Do they rebound and demolish a pretty shitty Wake Forest team?
Well, we thought this Wake Forest team on paper was looking pretty good, but their defense has turned out to be just a horrendous shit show.
Yeah.
Fired their defensive coordinator after, like, week 3. So, I mean, this is... I would almost consider, even if Trevor Lawrence is ready to go, I'd play the third stringer this week and just get him a game where he gets to put up a bunch of yards and a bunch of points so he has some confidence, you know, in case he's got to step back in later in the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Clemson demolishes here. Next up, part one of the Commander's Cup, Navy at Air Force. Navy's favored by 3. But I think the best team of these three, of the troops, is probably Army this year.
It looks that way. This is low-key a bigger rivalry than Army-Navy.
Yeah.
And, well, because, and I'll tell you why.
Because they both have planes.
This has been a rivalry going back to, like, the 80s of, like, Paul Johnson hating Fisher DeBerry. Paul Johnson, the godfather of the flexbone offense, the guy who invented it, was the offensive coordinator at Georgia Southern in the 80s when they won a bunch of FCS national championships. At the time, Air Force was being coached by Fisher DeBerry. They were a wishbone team. You know, they were a traditional Oklahoma wishbone. Well, they saw what Paul Johnson was doing at Georgia Southern, and they started running the flexbone. But then they didn't give him any credit. Like, they claim, like Fisher DeBerry claimed he invented it, and he did name that for, he did come up with the name flexbone. But, you know, the offense was something that Paul Johnson was running. And Paul Johnson has hated Air Force ever since. And yeah, every coach who's coached under Paul Johnson has hated Air Force ever since. And Troy Calhoun played for Fisher DeBerry. And when he came into Air Force, he kind of doesn't run the flexbone all the time. He mixes it in with other formations. Yeah. They run the triple option out of, like, 87 different sets, and they'll audible, and they'll go no huddle. And Paul Johnson and everybody involved with him just can't stand the guy and can't stand Air Force for stealing the offense and not giving him credit. And then, you know, when Paul Johnson ended up in Hawaii, they had a bunch of, you know, they played each other every year. So there's a lot of bad blood from people from the Paul Johnson coaching tree and Air Force. And it's low-key a more of a hate rivalry than Army-Navy is, at least for the coaching staffs. The coaching staffs just straight up don't like each other. Whereas yeah, if you look at the Army coaching staff, Jeff Monken used to be Paul Johnson's defensive coordinator at Georgia Southern. You know, Jeff Monken was a head coach at Georgia Southern. Like, he's got ties to all those Paul Johnson people.
Uh-huh.
So even, you know, even though it's Army-Navy, like, there's a respect because they all coached on the same teams together.
Who do we like here in this game? Is Navy going to take the first leg here?
I think Navy's going to beat Air Force. I really do. I just don't trust those Air Force boys.
I'm taking Navy here. I'm interested in this next game here. Arizona State at Colorado. Arizona State's underdog by 3. If that was more, I'm taking Arizona State. Because I'm still believing in Herm. Things haven't been so hot lately. But Arizona State's kind of doing what they should do. You know?
I feel like this is one of the craziest lines. Because, yeah, Colorado's undefeated, but who the fuck have they played?
Colorado keeps fucking covering, though, baby. Like, Colorado's going to just keep winning and covering. I promise you that. And give me Colorado -3.
This is the first team they've played all year with a winning record.
Who did they play last week?
I think like Southwest Alabama Tech.
Mm-mm. It was on Fox. They played UCLA.
Oh, who's 0-4? UCLA's 0-4.
Still, they're
0-4.
give me Colorado to win here by 3.
Give me Arizona State.
Keep betting on Colorado until they don't cover anymore. Don't go against the grain.
Give me Arizona State.
Next up, I believe in Herm. This could be an interesting one, but maybe not. Indiana at Ohio State. Indiana plus 25. Are we tempted? Do we think maybe Ohio State kind of has a mini letdown after a big game last week?
I'll take those points because, yeah, I think Ohio State could have a letdown a little bit.
I could see this
thing by 20.
I would take, if you can get those points at half, I could see Indiana like being within a touchdown at half, then Ohio State going, oh, yeah, we forgot who we were, and like blowing them out in the second half. Yeah. I could see this being close at half, though. That's my official prediction. I don't hate Indiana plus 25, though. I don't know if
I'm taking
it. Ohio State keeps, well, they didn't cover against Penn State, I guess. But they almost did. Let's see what we got next here. How about this one? Kentucky at Texas A&M. A&M's favored by 5.5. When is Vegas going to start respecting Kentucky, Dan? Give me Kentucky plus 5.5. They're going to blow out A&M.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's just looked like a better team than A&M this year.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's just putting way too much stock in A&M playing Clemson close one week.
Yeah,
so that's literally all they've got.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, and then they played Alabama and got demolished, you know. Give me Kentucky here all day. Give me Kentucky the money line. I don't know what that money line's at. It's Kentucky plus 180. So maybe just take Kentucky all right there, Dan.
Yeah, I'm taking Kentucky.
Yeah. Let's see. We got any more biggins? How about this one? We'll stay in the SEC. Auburn minus 4 at Mississippi State. Auburn's offense is looking pretty bad, but Mississippi State kind of sucks. So, you think Auburn can beat them by 4?
Yeah, Auburn's got to figure... I mean, Auburn's issue, and when they started the year and they were winning some games, the issue was even early, they could not pass. Nick Fitzgerald is an option quarterback. He's a good runner. He can't hit the broadside of the barn throwing the ball, and in this offense, he needs to be able to throw. And once they started running into conference opponents, his inability to throw completely shut down their offense.
You know,
and I don't think that's going to get better.
And for all of Auburn's issues, their defense is looking very good. What I like here is the over-under at 42. I'm taking the under. I don't think these teams get 42 points combined.
Do you think that do you think they recreate the Baby It's Burning game?
Was that the... was it like the 2-0 game?
The 3-2 game from Tommy Tuberfield and Romeo Crennel. Or not Romeo Crennel.
What was his name? Well.
Sylvester Croom.
Yes. Just fat black men. They all look alike, right, Dan? Give me the under there, though, because like this Auburn offense hasn't looked good. But maybe they're not trying and showing everything, or maybe everything gels with the offensive line this week. We'll see, but I'm taking the under, but I'm taking Auburn minus 4. And I can see the game being like 7-2. Next up, Nebraska at Wisconsin. Nebraska plus 19. Will Nebraska finally show some life
this
week before they be demolished again?
They're not going to show any. They're not showing any life.
Does Nebraska win a game this year? The schedule doesn't get much easier. Like Purdue was kind of their last shot, I think.
They get to play Illinois. Nah, they'll beat Illinois.
Okay. Maybe.
Nah, they'll beat Illinois.
I mean, Illinois played with Penn State for a half.
And then they lost that game like 64-12.
Yeah, but Penn State's much better than Nebraska, is what I'm
saying. But I don't know if Illinois is much better than Nebraska. We'll find out. I think Illinois might lose to Rutgers. So, you know.
Okay, how about this one? This one's only interesting from a sense of this team has kind of yet to cover. Georgia minus 26.5 hosting Vandy.
Give me Vandy. I just haven't seen Georgia really put anybody away or really kick the afterburners offensively.
They put South Carolina away, but I don't know what that means. I'm not sure that means anything. Necessarily, because they couldn't put Mizzou away, so they couldn't really put they barely put Tennessee away, and Tennessee is probably the worst team in the SEC. So, yeah, give me Vandy cashing here. Give me Vandy cashing at the half. Next up, Washington's favored by 3 touchdowns at UCLA. Do we like the UW to keep this up here?
Yeah, UCLA's horrendous. I mean, that team is a total fucking mess.
Once again, the best new coach in football right now remains Herm Edwards.
I mean,
maybe Bolin, but yeah.
It makes me wonder if Chip Kelly really made a fuck up choosing UCLA.
Oh, I think he did, because, I mean, where else could he have gone? He could have gone to Florida.
He wanted the Arizona State job. And their AD decided he wanted to do the new leadership model instead.
And it worked. I mean, because, I mean, regardless of what happens with Arizona State this year, it's been a success, right?
Not sure I could say
okay, that. More of a success than Arizona.
More of a success than Arizona.
Because Arizona's been a fucking disaster. I don't know if you saw that game last week against you. I mean, they had a chance to beat USC, and, like, I don't know if Khalil Tate's just still kind of hurt a lot or what, but, like, whatever they put in his fucking head and told him not to make plays was the dumbest thing possible. Like, it looks like a completely different quarterback than the guy we saw last year, who looked like a guy who could be a game changer in college football. Arizona sucks.
Yeah. That just feels like a coach who made a bad decision to get back in when he probably should have taken a year off, surveyed
the field. Wasn't he pretty good in the coach's room, too?
Yeah, everybody.
Sumlin would have been great on, like, game day or whatever.
He could have easily done a year on ESPN, and, I mean, he had an ironclad buyout from Texas A&M. He could have sat on his butt for a year and waited, and would have probably gotten a pretty good offer this year because there ain't a whole lot of people out there.
Well, who's getting fired this year?
Probably a better job than Arizona.
I don't know who, but realistically who? Because, like, maybe you could have taken Maryland.
But going into the year, Texas Tech looked like it would come open.
Okay. But not now. Because what's going to really be open now, at the end of the year? That's like,
you have Maryland will be open.
But is that that much better than Arizona? Like,
Louisville might be open, although they're probably going to want to go with Brian Brom. Because,
like, nothing, unless someone moves, like, dramatically.
Colorado could come open if they fall apart.
But do you want to go there?
It might be a better one than Arizona.
Well, I mean, it is right now. Fuck up there. Let's move on to this one, though. Night game, big game. Notre Dame at Vautech. Notre Dame's favored by 6.5. The Irish going to keep it up, or the Hokies? Are the Turkeys going to kill the Irishmen?
Give me Notre Dame. Virginia Tech just looked like a team that can't hang with top end.
Give me Vautech, because Notre Dame's not that good. Notre Dame will lose to Pittsburgh, Vautech, or Navy. That's a guarantee for me. They're not that good. Stanford's not that good. Michigan's not that good. Notre Dame should not be a playoff team. And someone needs to step up and beat them to keep that from happening. Because we saw what happened the last time a Notre Dame team went undefeated and played a team the caliber of Alabama. They got demolished. And it's going to happen again.
Well, the difference is that it'll happen in the playoffs. The thing is that's true. It'll happen in the semis. But do you really think Notre Dame are a bigger pretender than Washington? Like, that's when I get kind of sideways with people who talk about, Notre Dame is, like, who are always criticizing Notre Dame.
Washington will end up playing better teams in the year than Notre Dame. Notre Dame doesn't play anybody.
No, they won't. The best team Washington will have beaten is a team that Notre Dame just flattened.
Well, they beat them by 2 touchdowns. I wouldn't say that's flattening.
2 touchdowns is flattening. That'll be the best team Washington.
But Colorado. Has. Washington's going to beat Colorado.
Colorado sucks. Colorado should have lost to Nebraska.
They're undefeated. But they didn't.
They should have lost to Nebraska.
But they didn't. They didn't.
But they're you can't undefeated. Play that game and then do Notre Dame's not really good. You can't. That, now you're double talking
about
both sides
of your mouth.
Well, then
Notre Dame should have lost to Michigan.
No, they shouldn't have.
One of their touchdown passes was the luckiest pass of the year. Went through two guys' hands.
But scoreboard. Scoreboard.
You can't make that argument. You can't take
you can't,
argument.
You can't, no, you can't do scoreboard and then start being nuanced about Notre Dame. You either have to be scoreboard or not scoreboard. I'm not a guy who just looks at the end result and says it counts.
I don't think Notre Dame should be allowed to be in the playoffs, first off. Catholic Church, not a lot of good stuff around that.
The Big 12 has Baylor.
Moral standpoint.
The Big 12 shouldn't be allowed in because they have Baylor.
The Big 12. The Big 12, should the Big 10. It should only be the SEC and the Pac-12, apparently.
And the ACC, that's it. That's the moral
ACC. Because, like, well, we're dirty about academics, but that's it. you know?
At least we ain't dang rapists.
Yeah. Like kid rapists on top of that.
Yeah.
The worst type of rapist.
I just, and like, you really sitting here telling me that Clemson's going to have a better resume at the end of this year than Notre Dame?
But I would trust
best win. Who's Clemson's best win?
I would trust Clemson against Alabama.
No, not this Clemson team. They have not looked like they should even be on the same field as Alabama.
Well, maybe, but maybe this Clemson team is like one of those teams that
they tried to lose to. Clemson is, if you want to talk about the team that is doing the best impression of like 2012 Notre Dame, it's Clemson, not Notre Dame.
Then who?
Because Clemson is playing like shit.
Who else can beat Alabama? Who else is going to beat Alabama like Clemson?
Georgia or Oklahoma are the only two teams that look like they can beat Notre Dame.
Well, Ohio State does own this.
No. Ohio State does not look like they even belong on the same field as Alabama.
Well, let's move on.
Because when I look at Ohio State, I look at a team that can't stop anybody. So Tua's gonna throw for like 8 touchdowns. Tua's gonna personally have 8 touchdowns against this Ohio State defense. And then on the other side of the ball, Alabama's gonna hit that kid once and he's gonna fold. And then that's going to be the end of that.
Well, I wonder, though, I think with Clemson, if they find their identity the next month, they're going to look like a better team. I think the issue with Clemson right now is they don't know who they are.
They get to do that because their schedule's so shitty.
Well, yeah, but like, if they figure it out, they're going
to get
like,
to work
talent,
it out.
There's more talent there than in Oklahoma.
I mean, not that much more.
I mean, the pedigree's there. The pedigree says Clemson's defense puts guys in the pros. More pros than Oklahoma's produced, too.
Oklahoma's produced, a rookie of the year candidate quarterback.
Well, but you're not on defense.
Well,
and
I mean,
rookie
you're not,
year
but,
candidate,
but see, here's the thing. If you're going
to
beat Alabama, you're not going
to
beat Alabama in a defensive struggle. If you beat them, it's going to be in a shootout. So the only teams that can, you know, the only teams I look at and I go, okay, they have a chance are Georgia because they're the only team with close to equal talent, and Oklahoma because they could turn it into a shootout.
Well, what about, you know, and we keep forgetting to talk about our boys, still undefeated, UCF. UCF goes undefeated this year.
Not going to be allowed.
They're
not
going.
There's no point even. There's no point even talking about it.
This would go on our TV promo, Dan. If UCF goes undefeated 2 years in a row, they should go in over Notre Dame.
But they're not going to. So there's no point in even talking.
They are
going to
go undefeated.
But they're not. But it doesn't matter. They could. It's still not going to help.
They play better teams this year.
It doesn't matter. They're not going to get in.
They should.
But they're not going to.
They're the defending national champion. They should be in.
They're not going to get in.
They're the only team that beat Alabama.
All right. You're getting too transitive there.
Well, that's called. Hey, Dan, we're pro trans rights here on the show, so I'm sorry that you're
pro transitive property rights.
Yes, we're pro math, we're anti math, but pro trans. Let's move on though. This one's kind of intriguing. Utah at Stanford. Utah plus 5. Stanford rebound, or they barely beat Utah here? Because Stanford's not really that. Like Stanford needed kind of a miracle to beat Oregon. Or
give me the. They needed multiple miracles. Give me Utah. I think Stanford wins, but it'll be like an ugly, like, poop game where they just, like, fall on each other for 2 hours, and it ends up being, like, 13-10.
And how about this one, Dan? I don't know. This one might be on the stadium app. At 11:59, Wyoming goes to Hawaii. Hawaii's favored by 3.5.
Hawaii all day.
Hawaii at midnight. That's going to be the game. They get you all your money back.
You right? Do not walk into the Pro Bowl and just walk out a champion.
Over under is 57. I might
over.
Look at that under. I might look at that under.
Give me the over. Hawaii's going to score 40 points themselves.
That might be it, though. It might be 40-9.
Hey, Hawaii's defense can get anybody 40 points.
Your boys, Oklahoma, kind of suck. And looks like, Dan, we were both kind of wrong about Josh Allen.
Did we? Because he's looked pretty shitty in the NFL, too.
You beat Minnesota.
Oh, boy. You beat Minnesota. Nobody ever does that.
No, only him in L.A. So, Even the great Aaron Rodgers could beat Minnesota this year. He tied. So, is Josh Allen better than Aaron Rodgers this year?
Yeah, I don't know. You decide.
Yeah, you look who has the wins over Minnesota. That's all I have to say about that. That's it for the week. What are you most looking forward to in, like, a week that has a lot of potential for fun, but will probably suck? Like, it doesn't feel as fun as last week going into it. Not looking forward to anything, Dan.
I mean, the game I'm looking forward to the most is the Red River Rivalry Shootout Fandango. So,
of us will be recovering from watching WWE's Super Brawl Saturday Showdown live from Australia, featuring Triple H versus The Undertaker in 2014, baby.
Yeah, I don't really need to see that.
I do. I definitely need to see that.
I'm saving up my energy for DX versus the Brothers of Destruction in 2018, where all of them are bald. Literally everybody in the ring is bald.
In Saudi Arabia, baby.
My hero, my favorite wrestler, is coming out of retirement for some psychotic sheik.
To please some incestual pedophile sheik.
Who's going
to
then go home and, you know, have a 15, 12-year-old dunk his dick in gold and then pull it back out again.
Dan, let's look ahead for Deep Dive for next week, because week 7 kind of fucking owns. Here are some of the games. Michigan at Wisconsin. Washington at Oregon. Penn State at Mississippi State. And Georgia at LSU.
Those all sound pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward.
Which one are we picking? Which one do I type in the preview, basically? You know what? Fuck it. We're going to go deep on all those games.
Let's do it. Just get deep in the paint.
We're going to do a hard deep dive next week on Penn State. Unless one of these teams gets upset or something weird, then we're not, you know, something weird happens. But Penn State, Michigan State, Georgia, LSU, Washington, Oregon, and of course, Michigan, Wisconsin. It'll be a fun week next week.
I believe so.
Doesn't that look a little more appetizing in the games we just went over here where we're like trying to hype up Notre Dame, Virginia Tech? When like it's going to be like Notre Dame 55, Virginia Tech -4 somehow.
Yeah.
And next week, Dan, I will be fresh off of seeing Venom. And as will you, I will be sending
you. You may not be the same person.
I might be a symbiote.
Oh, yeah. You know what? When you get done watching Mandy, or when you get done watching Venom, you should watch a good movie, which is Mandy.
I don't know if that's Cage. In theaters near me. You know what is in the theater near me,
Dave? It is available online.
Okay. The theater near me, though, you know what they're playing next week? Oh, shit. What are those two black ladies who love Trump? Diamond and Silk. They have a movie coming out called, like, The Democrats. And it will be playing one night in the theater near me.
It's going to be a real crowded theater.
I would go, but I'm not. Because I don't want anyone I know to see me there and think like I agree with anything.
Well, that's going to be the only people there. People who actually agree with that are shut-ins who won't be there.
I think will. I think there will be multiple like old white women at that movie.
No, they won't. The people who like Diamond and Silk have not left their house in 10 years.
Ooh wee!
They watch them on YouTube.
This might be when they come out.
They won't.
And anytime Dan, a movie's in the theaters for one day, and it's like a Monday or a Tuesday, you know it's going to be a big hit.
It's just going to be a bunch of smartasses, like a bunch of smartass college.
It's
going to
be our boy, Crappy Jeff, in that movie. Probably not, because he... Well, actually, Obama supported that as well.
Actually, you'll find that Nazis are socialists.
Well, actually, you'll find out... Yeah, why is it that every conservative person is bald?
Because they're all old.
But even, like, the young ones are old. Like, Stephen Miller and our boy Crappy Jeff are both, like, Shapiro is...
Crappy Jeff is kind of old. Crappy Jeff is old.
He's, like, in his 40s, yeah. But, like, even, like, Ben Shapiro is the only one with hair. I doubt that's real.
No, it's definitely a toupee.
You think some, like, maybe, like, early onset balding causes you to become a conservative?
Sure.
I think there's something.
You get left out at the parties. You don't get to go to the fun.
When you're bald, like...
Yeah.
You look at these beautiful Democrats with their beautiful hair.
You're either bald or you have like you're a 40-year-old with frat boy hair.
You either die with hair, Dan, or you live long enough to see yourself become bald.
You're either bald or you look like Tucker Carlson. That's every Republican.
Remember when Tucker Carlson had who was his boy? Alan Keith.
No, that was Sean Hannity. You said Alan Combs.
Ew, Combs. Who's the? That's actually my conservative voice, but that's what he sounded like.
Famously, that show was described by an old producer of Fox News as Hannity and Combs.
That did you know who his dad was though? Alan Combs.
I do not.
Droopy Smith.
I was about to say Alan Dershowitz.
Folks. Some NBA news really quick. Jimmy Butler, you have to be traded. Minnesota continues to be maybe the worst franchise in the NBA. Is Minnesota? Quick question before we got here for you, Dan. Are the Timberwolves maybe the worst franchise in NBA history? If you consider the Hawks have like a championship with in St. Louis in the 50s, and like that's
so yeah, we're. Yeah, so the Clippers right. have the Buffalo, you know, the Buffalo, they won a title with
like
Buffalo.
The Clippers the past few years have been pretty, like, they were contenders, you know. Has Minnesota ever been a contender, really? Maybe one year?
They've never won a playoff series.
I thought, yeah, that's right. Because who's, like, is the Nuggets, or, like, they had their shit together.
The Nuggets won multiple ABA titles.
Yeah. Same thing with the Pacers. The Thunder, Pacers. Like, you could say, well, they got rid of James Harden, but, like...
But they've also got the Sonics history.
Well, even if you don't count, even the Thunder history on its own is pretty good. Like,
yeah, they were
a Klay Thompson not getting hot quarter away from probably winning a championship with Durant and Westbrook. And it's not like Harden's won a bunch of titles by himself or something, so...
The Hornets have had nothing but sorrow. Other than, like, the Alonzo Mourning years.
Yeah.
It's been like a pretty steady stream of sorrow in Charlotte.
So it's like Minnesota, New Orleans, and Charlotte.
Yeah. That's just a lot of horror. And it depends on where you give the... Who gets the Hornets history? Does New Orleans get that, or does Charlotte get it?
I think they both get to share it.
And then New Orleans, do they get to have New Orleans Jazz history? Or does Utah get that?
Well, I guess the Magic, but even the Magic have been better than the Timberwolves. I mean, the Magic went to an NBA Finals.
Like yeah, they've been to two NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Lost them both. The Nets haven't had much good things since they joined the NBA.
Yeah. But they went to a Finals, though.
They went to a Finals and got swept.
But still, that's better than Minnesota. Minnesota
that is better than Minnesota. The Raptors have not had much to be happy about.
But
they have Vince Carter.
Well, but even recently, like, they've been disappointing in the playoffs, but, like, they've won series.
Sure.
They just
but they're also in the East. Like, Minnesota, if you switched Minnesota to the East, they'd probably have gone on, like, a Raptors-like run during the Kevin Garnett years.
Yeah, probably. I think my Detroit team probably would have gotten in their way, but...
They would have at least won a couple of series, though.
Yeah.
I would say Minnesota probably has had nothing, but, I mean,
yeah.
Do you give Minnesota credit?
Because my thing with Toronto is, like, they didn't have a good situation, like, fuck it up as bad as Minnesota has.
Because
Minnesota had a great situation.
I don't know about that. The Raptors had Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter at the same time.
Well, both those guys did nothing in their careers.
Because they then left and went to teams on their own.
Yeah.
Like, if McGrady and...
Vince Carter played with Jason Kidd, though. It's not
like, yeah, but
Tracy McGrady had Yao Ming, NBA Hall of Famer,
who was hurt.
He was a Hall of Famer.
They needed him.
Hall of Famer.
He's only in the Hall of Fame because of China.
And they had the old Dikembe Mutombo on that team. And Skip to Malu, Ray for Austin.
Do we give the Timberwolves credit for the Minneapolis Lakers? Like, do they get anything off of that?
No, they don't. No.
Like, do they get any credit for the George Mikan years?
No, I don't think Minnesota. A and two, the Timberwolves what lost multiple draft picks to sign Joe fucking Smith.
Hey, he was a real. He was the net. He was the last piece of the puzzle.
So Minnesota made the Timberwolves may be one of the worst franchises in sports history.
They've had nothing but horror.
Yeah, and their own doing.
Mostly. Yes, because their owner had this insane idea that you can only work there if you're from Minnesota, which is the most bizarre thing in the world.
I believe that's like the most Minnesotan like idea ever, though. But I kind of get it because like, why would you want to live in Minnesota? You're not from there.
Wade Keller would tell you that you're being a dick.
He's from Minnesota.
Yeah, he's from St. Paul.
Would you move to Minnesota, Dan?
No.
I wouldn't either. Who else would? No one's smart.
I hear good things about Minneapolis and St. Paul.
No, I think it's a fun city. I would never move there, though. Like, I'd rather live in Charlotte than Minneapolis.
I've lived in Charlotte. Sucks. I'm not sure I'd move back to Charlotte.
Charlotte has like no culture. I think of Charlotte as just like a big suburb.
We got an art section of this city in North Charlotte where the old mills used to be. We too have culture. Charlotte's not just South Charlotte rich assholes anymore.
Hey, here in Charlotte, we just got a Shake Shack. I don't know why we talk like we're from Minnesota now, but we do.
This is Charlotte. We got a We have a Taco Mac now.
Oh, really?
They do.
The Taco Mac kind of sucks now, though, I will say. Since, like, I'm not being racist, but since the black guys bought it, not as good. Probably has more to do with being owned by a hedge fund than the race of the people who run the hedge fund, but still.
Charlotte. They may always have the money, but they will never have the culture, because the culture is always going to be in the triangle.
I think Raleigh, on that Durham, note,
Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I think we're on that note. Fuck Charlotte.
Fuck Charlotte. Fuck Ole Miss. Fuck Australia. Fuck the Queen. And play the music, Jason.
Go see Venom.